Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, doing the will of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we may walk in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. God of here and now, we have heard the words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son," time and again. We read them on billboards, hear them in worship, see people holding signs. Yet we know there is a difference between hearing those words in passing and truly, deeply listening. We long to listen, God. We long to hear your truth. We long to know your love. Open our hearts and minds. We are listening. Amen. So the title of this sermon may seem a bit of a stretch when compared to the scripture. I mean, the word love is actually only in this passage one time. That's in verse 4. The rest is all about sin and good works. But I see this whole passage actually centering around verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us. The passage starts off remembering the fall of humanity in the Garden of Eden. We're all sinful. None of us can get out of that. We can't help it. It's just part of human nature. And the folks, the original readers of this, the people in the first century, they knew that evil existed, but they were more likely to attribute it to like a demonic force that just sort of like permeates the world, and it needed to be warded off through like magic and things like that. But what Paul is saying is a little closer to what we understand as evil. Paul doesn't need a cosmic being in opposition to God to explain sin. There doesn't need to be a very personal power of evil that leads us astray to make us avoid walking the paths that have been established by God. Because we're pretty good at doing that all by ourselves. Part of the human condition. All right, well, if it's part of the human condition, like, so what are we to do? Are we just wander around, lost, dead to sin, embracing evil, no hope? That's exactly the point where God's love comes in. Out of mercy, out of great love, God solved our natural condition of sin. God made us alive together with Christ. our sins are forgiven. Over and over and over again, even before we recognize how badly we've messed up, even before we know that we have sinned, God intervenes. Doesn't stop there. God doesn't wait until we've cleaned up our acts to give us life. Again and again, God loves us. But God doesn't just love us, God loves us first. I have to tell you, that is such an overwhelming statement of joy for me. I mean, think about it. The mercy involved with that, the grace, the love. Sit with that. This isn't a tit for a tat or a, well, we'll see how faithful you are kind of love. It's not a, well, maybe after you die kind of love. This is a here and now kind of love, a before you were even formed in the womb kind of love. Twice in this passage, Paul says, by grace you have been saved. The whole reason that we have been saved is to be exhibit A of how gracious and loving God is, to be a testimony. Our predicament of being sinful beings has been solved through Jesus Christ. And it's been solved through Jesus Christ because God is loving and gracious. And the more we understand that, the more we learn about it, the more we feel it, the more we're able to display those same kinds of characteristics. Here's the most important thing, if you're taking notes. If you leave not hearing anything else this morning, hear this. Our salvation is entirely God's gift to us. There is literally nothing that we can do to earn it. The only thing we can do is open our hands and receive it. I don't know about you, but I'm blown away by this. In a world where I feel as though I constantly have to prove myself worthy and competent, even lovable sometimes, to think that God would love me, or even just want me, just the way that I am right now, the way that I stand before you right now, not the way that God might wish that I were. That is an overwhelming joy. I'm getting actually a little tingly right now. Each and every single one of us is a used car in the car lot with a big, bright, neon yellow tag that says in bold capital letters, as is. And God pointed to each one of us and said, that one. That's the one that I want to save from the junkyard. I don't care if it needs body work, or if the transmission is wrecked, or if it randomly stalls anytime it goes over 45 miles per hour. I love it. I will pay anything for that. I tell you what, I will give you my firstborn son. How do you respond to a gift like that? A love like that? It certainly can't brag about it. We didn't do anything to earn God's love. And what kind of love would it be if God said, I'll love you and help you if you love me first and prove that you really want it? If that were the case, we'd all be plumb out of luck, because there's literally nothing in our human powers that could ever earn the love of our Creator. That being said, God loving us first and our inability to love God adequately doesn't mean we get to just float around in the pool sipping fruity drinks. We aren't excused from performing good works. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith. No, we do not rely on good works to be saved. But we are what God has made us. People created in Christ Jesus for good works. Instead of being a frantic means for trying to save ourselves, good works are an opportunity. They're an opportunity for us to live out the lives that we were destined to live. Good works are expressions of Christ alive within us, ministering to the world. Good works are our thankful response. That faithful and thankful response, that's loving other people the way that we are loved. Loving them first. And in response to God's workmanship, we live out our divine calling. The result of taking God's love so seriously is an outpouring of works. We remember that we have worth and value. The same worth and value as everyone else that we meet, because we were all created from love, to be love, to spread love. I have a video here that says this pretty well. It's from somebody, Kid President. You might remember him from back in the early aughts, later, yeah, probably 2008,
2009. There's a lot that the kids need to know. A letter to a person on their first day here. Tonight, over 360,000 babies will be born, and you are one of them. Welcome, this is the world. It's a pretty cool place. There's lots to see, smell, there's corn dogs. I can't help myself. There's just so much to do. Singing. Dancing. Oh, and laughing. Laughing's the best. It's especially great when you laugh
We are saved by the grace of God, not because we're good, but because God is good. Because again and again, God loves us enough to look past our flaws and our disobedience. Again and again, God loves us so much. He loves us so much that there's no repayment option for the grace that we've been gifted. Again and again, God loves first. Thanks be to God. Amen.